All right, we're going to get started. I want to welcome everyone, since this is the first breakout session of the kind of normal Tech Ed conference. I want to welcome you guys to Tech Ed. My name is Richard Azariga. They let me come here because I speak Texan. I'm based in Dallas, but I do quite a bit of work with our engineering teams, both on the SharePoint side and the Yammer side. So hopefully I will be able to answer any questions you have on those two and how they work together and what you can do with things. This is, even though it's not a, I don't think it's prefixed with a developer prefix, but it is more of a developer session. It's the title is Integrating Yammer and SharePoint with .NET. So we're going to look at how we can do that with .NET, and .NET is obviously development. So we're going to spend a little bit of time there. Just from a session objective standpoint, what I want to do is first of all, hopefully give you guys a feel for the different APIs that are available in Yammer and what you can do with it. I mentioned earlier, I'll talk a little bit about to SharePoint Social and kind of why I'm not necessarily concentrating on that. But ultimately, we're going to spend most of our time looking at Yammer and what we can do with that. We're going to look at how to work with it with .NET. So most of you guys know that Yammer was an acquisition by Microsoft. And so most of Yammer isn't even .NET right now. And so if you think about like how can we work with that with .NET, that's really one of our big focuses here. And then look at some challenges and lessons learned of building Yammer applications. So I've built probably a dozen Yammer applications from very simple to very complex. We're going to build a few of those kind of middle-tier ones today in this session. But I want to hopefully give you guys some tips so that you don't, spin your wheels like I did when a lot of this stuff was not quite as documented. So from a takeaway standpoint, I hope you guys walk out of here seeing that Yammer uses kind of industry standard type of ways to integrate. And that doing so with .NET is actually very easy, especially with some of the work that folks in the community have done. And then finally, this is more of a general statement, but I'm a pretty strong believer that building social makes sense in almost every application. And when I say that, I think just the concept of having someone's picture in an application is a social thing. And so if SharePoint or if Yammer is a really good place to have things like profile pictures, then that's a fantastic way that I might be able to enrich an application that we have, maybe an existing one, with some of those capabilities. So from an agenda standpoint, we're first going to look at the Yammer APIs, let you know where they are, what's there, and how they size up against SharePoint APIs. We're going to look at specifically how I can build Yammer apps and how authentication works, because it's going to be a little bit different than maybe what you're accustomed to, but it does follow, industry standards like OAuth. We're going to look at how I can work with Yammer with .NET, right? That's kind of the title of this session, so we're going to make sure we spend a decent amount of time on there and look at how we can do things with .NET. We're going to look at how we can do the integration with SharePoint. So now that I've built, we're going to start with just a normal Yammer application, and then we're going to actually make that into a SharePoint app that you could go get from maybe a public marketplace or your private catalog. And then I'm going to do some going further with Yammer development. I've done a lot to really push Yammer development, so we're going to get into some of the cool stuff like real-time APIs and maybe how I do some more advanced things around the API throttlings and stuff like that. Awesome. So let's start off with the Yammer APIs. So first of all, Yammer does have a small amount of developer documentation. I do say small amount. It is not the most extensive documentation if you take into consideration what we have on like MSDN, right? MSDN is very, very detailed. Yammer, you have probably six or seven web pages that list some of the ways that you can do development against Yammer. That being said, there are other APIs that exist that aren't maybe documented. Just know that I leverage some of those in some of my apps, but you got to be really careful because those, obviously not being documented, are subject to change without notice. And one of the other things, if you are, hopefully you guys are Yammer users. If you're not, go. I would highly encourage it. It's a great way to reach out to me and some of the other experts in the Microsoft community to get answers to some of your questions. But there is a network. That's one of the concepts in Yammer is networks. There's actually a network dedicated to Yammer development. So it's the Yammer Developer Network. And I've found it really valuable. I'll be the first to say that Yammer doesn't have the amazing search platform that we have in SharePoint, But I do, I am able to find some interesting things there. When I'm running into a challenge, I can usually go out there and, you know, search some of the things and find some answers to my questions. From an API standpoint, when we talk about like integrating with .NET, our primary way of doing that is through Yammer's REST endpoints. So that's really where most of the data access is going to occur, is with those, that REST data. All of the REST APIs are going to support JSON data coming back. As you know, JSON is a little bit more optimized for using client-side, and so that's going to be a little bit odd from a .NET standpoint, and we're going to look at how we can deal with that. However, a number of the APIs are also support XML. So we'll actually look at that. We'll go look at some of the REST APIs through the documentation, and I'll show you how you can request, you know, make the same request, some with JSON, some with XML. If you're doing any sort of client-side development, there is Yammer does have a JavaScript SDK. It's actually quite extensive and makes it actually really easy. So doing things like login, with a single line of script, I can convert a div into a login button that handles the whole authentication process. I think there's some big advantages to doing things with .NET, and I'll kind of talk to some of those throughout, but that is something to be aware of. And although we're not going to get into it, Yammer does have some more advanced things, like it has an entire graph API, so if I want to have contextual type of messages from another application, so let's say I have like a SAP, and I want to, you know, post a sale into SAP and have that maybe record some sort of graph message inside of Yammer. There is the ability to do things like that. I am going to concentrate on some advanced things. I told you we'll get into the real-time API because I think that's a pretty cool thing. All right, so let's take a look at what REST APIs are available, and here's where I want to start. I think there's way more people at this conference that are probably familiar with SharePoint. And as you know, in 2013, we enhanced SharePoint with a number of social capabilities. So let's take a look at what's there from a SharePoint standpoint. You know, we have things like messages and replies and likes and mentions and profiles and relationships. So a lot of the, you know, kind of core social components are now there in SharePoint out of the box. I can do, you know, we have nice news feeds, and I can at mention people and hashtags and things like that. And it is a relatively nice set of things. And for all those, we have REST APIs that expose those. So you can, you know, easily integrate something that runs externally with those social features. Here's the value proposition. One of the big value propositions I see of Yammer is it takes everything that SharePoint has and it adds a whole bunch more. So for instance, Yammer has the concept of groups. So instead of just one big feed, I can have really nice organized groups, and they can be private or public, and I can really organize a nice, what I would think, information architecture around how we do social. It also has networks, which is great if I want to do maybe interaction with people outside my organization. I can create like an external network. I use those quite a bit for different things, like the IT Pro Network, which we might use here a little bit later. I mentioned the Graph API. There's real-time things. There's invitations, there's autocomplete, there's a lot of different things that really extend that social offering by leveraging Yammer. So with that, let's take a look at some of these APIs and what they look like and where I can find them. So let me bring up a new tab in my browser here. Oh, we're not going to go to that site. So we're going to go out to Yammer's REST API documentation. So when I mentioned that Yammer does have some documentation, this is the documentation site. So if you just go to developer.yammer.com, you can find a lot of this information. And like I said, there's only about 6 or 7 pages, and then there's sections within those. So a little bit later, we'll go look at authentication, and it'll have, you know, the whole list of how I do things like authentication. But from a REST API standpoint, you can see the different things that I might want to do. So let's take a look at maybe let's just look at messages. So I'll grab this URL here, and I'm going to go to where I have an active session, and I'm just going to paste this in the browser. This is doing a GET, so Yammer is going to support both GETs and posts. So if I'm creating something, I'm traditionally going to do a post because I'm posting data. But in this case, I'm just getting messages, and therefore it's going to be in a JSON format. So I'm going to go ahead and press enter here, and what it's going to do, my browser is going to say, hey, do you want to open this JSON file? And you can see it is kind of hard to read. right? And so most people would grab something like this, and maybe there's lots of sites where you can go view JSON, so I'll just go to JSON Viewer. This is the one that I kind of like. And what it'll do is I can paste it in, and now I can actually see more of a structured view of what the data that comes back. So I have a bunch of messages. So these are all the messages that came back from that API. And then there's something called references here that actually, and I know that's hard to see, I apologize. The references actually show, they are things like mentions of people or topics that were mentioned within the message. So I don't have to go back to Yammer with another API call. It brings it all together, which is really nice. Not all the time, but a lot of the times it's gonna bring it together. And then there's some additional metadata that tell me if there's more messages available and kind of the span at which I grab things. So that's one way that I can do it. The other way that I can do this is maybe make the same request, but make it via XML. So let me grab that URL one more time. And this time, instead of doing it as .json, I'm just gonna change the extension. So it's just a matter of changing the extension on it. And in this case, it's gonna go and bring me the exact same data, but in an XML format. So I think ultimately, it comes down to what you're more comfortable working in. Neither is, I think, ideal from a .NET standpoint, but there's certainly lots of classes to work with either one. I'll show you another example here. So a lot of these are contextual, and I'll kind of zoom in here so you can see. Instead of messages, I'm going to say users, and I'm going to grab maybe the current user. This should bring back the details for me. And I'm logged in as like a demo user here, so it's bringing back a guy named Alex Darrow. But ultimately, you can see that it's the same type of syntax. It's just different API calls. So again, developer.yammer.com has most of the documentation around this. All right, so now that we have all these great APIs, how do I actually build an application and authenticate and be able to pull data back? Right? In this case, I was in a browser that already had an authentication token, and so that's why it was allowing me to get that data back from just directly within the browser. If I were to open up like an in private session where I don't have a token, it would reject that request. And so our application very well might be in that scenario. So Yammer apps are gonna use OAuth. And so the first step in me building a Yammer application is I'm going to go get a client ID in secret by registering an application out at yammer.com/client-applications. We're gonna do this here in a moment, but ultimately, this is very much, who's built SharePoint apps before, out of curiosity? All right, great, I see a number of hands. If you are familiar with SharePoint development, there's a page in SharePoint called appregnew.aspx. It's a layouts page, and that's where you actually go and you register an app and you get a client ID in secret. It's identical. It actually, if I show you the screen side by side, it almost looks like they shared a developer in a lot of ways. And so it's gonna be really familiar if you've built apps for SharePoint. I will tell you this, is that when you go and generate a client ID in secret, by default, that app is only going to work in your home network until you go and you mark it with a global flag. This is, again, it was one of the things that I ran into, is when I built my first Yammer app, it worked great in Microsoft.com's network, and then I tried to go use it in one of my other demo networks, and it kept getting access denied. It wouldn't work. And ultimately, I had to get it marked global. There's two ways you can do it. You can do it where you put it out in like a public marketplace, kind of like the Office Store is for SharePoint, or you can actually reach out to Yammer and they'll mark it just global for your organization so it doesn't list it in a catalog. Do be aware, and we're gonna do an advanced scenario on this, be aware that Yammer APIs are throttled. So I'm actually gonna list you what the throttling is, but for instance, a lot of the things like followers. If I were to bring back my followers, it actually only brings back 50 at a time. And so you end up having to do like paging in an API call. Well, if you try to just recursively get someone that's really popular, like Satya, Microsoft's new CEO, he probably has lots of followers, and you're gonna end up hitting an API throttle limit, and it'll actually start giving you, I think it's a 423 error. And so we'll cover that in a little bit more detail. If you're familiar with OAuth, OAuth brings back what we call an access token. So in the SharePoint world, you go out and you get a context token, you post that out to Azure ACS, and it gives you an access token back. Here's the interesting thing about a Yammer access token. It is good forever. It doesn't expire. which is kind of interesting. But once you get that access token, theoretically, you could store it and use it forever, and a user never has to log in. So a couple of comments on that. It can be revoked by a user. So an access token is specific to your app. So if I access 13 different apps, I'm going to have different access tokens for each one of those. But it does not expire until someone revokes that. So be careful about those. Be careful about what you do with them. I've seen some people do things like throw them into, you know, cookies or things like that, and those, that can be a challenging thing. It could be a scary thing if someone gets that access token. The question was, can you set it to automatically expire at a certain period of time? So the question was, is there any way to trigger it in your application so it makes them maybe re-sign in? Unfortunately, you could put the logic to maybe purge the access token, but no, the access token is good for life. That's what we say. However, you could do other things, like if you wanted to, like maybe every 6 months you could generate a new client ID, which would then result as basically a new app at that point in time, and that would make users have to re-log in. There is a logout function you can use in Yammer, but still, if they have that access token, they really don't even need to be logged in. So, good question. Yeah, so be careful with your access tokens. I'm probably a little bit liberal with them. I'll open up Fiddler and I can just see the access token on the header, and I'll use it sometimes that way, but I'd be really careful about how you're doing things with that access token. So just a few things. I mentioned this is that if you're doing things client-side with the JavaScript SDK, it's kind of handled for you. You don't have to do a whole lot of things. It's a couple of lines of script and it handles the whole login process. For .NET, we're going to have to do things manually. Now, I say manually. I've built a number of utilities, including I'm in the process of actually putting some of this into like a base page. So if I'm building a .NET web application, I can simply just say, hey, this is a secure Yammer page, and it will kind of force it through this process. But here's what happens. And this, if you're familiar with OAuth, this is going to be very familiar. So first I'm going to go and make a request to a OAuth endpoint, and I'm going to provide it a client ID and a redirect URL. Then what's going to happen is Yammer's going to check to see if the browser is authenticated. If it's not, it's going to prompt the user to log in, right? That's going to be a requirement. It's going to have the user log in. Then it's going to check to see if the user has previously authorized that application. So it's going to stop on like an authorized screen. You guys have seen them in SharePoint. You've seen them in Facebook. It's really no different. It's going to say, hey, do you trust this app to basically act as you? From there, if you do grant it access, it is going to return a context code. Basically, it's a context token back to your application. Your application then needs to make another call. So it's going to make a call out to accesstoken.json, and this time it's going to provide not only the client ID, but it's going to provide the client secret and the Yammer code, the code that Yammer provided in step 4. So three things: the code, access token, and client secret. Once Yammer gets that, it's going to return an access token, and then I can use that to make any sort of API calls I want. So visually, what this looks like is I go to my Yammer app. This is a Yammer app that I have out in the, it's a free one out in the Office Marketplace called Social Nucleus. I go to this site. It's going to say, hey, wait a second, you're not logged in. Or I'm sorry, wait a second, I need an access token. So I'm going to go out to Yammer. It's going to redirect me to log in. Once I log in, the next step it's going to do, it's going to say, I need you to authorize the app. So here's that authorize screen where it's saying, do you allow it to act on your behalf? Once I do that, it's going to redirect me back to my browser with a code. It'll actually be in the URL. We'll see that here in a moment. It'll actually say code equals. It's a URL parameter that I can then make my REST call to get an access token. So I'll go out, get my access token, and as soon as I get that access token back, I can go make a call to make pretty things like that, right? I can go call any of the APIs that I want to. So that's really the process of doing this. And we're going to actually look at this in .NET code and look at how exactly how that flow occurs. So Now let's talk. Now that we know all the APIs that are available and we know how to build apps in terms of register an app and how to authenticate our apps, how do we do all this in .NET? So to break it down really simply, there's three things we need to do. We're going to have to be able to make GET and POST HTTP requests, right? That's how we're going to work with JSON. That's kind of the traditional way of working with JSON, is either doing, making a request, either through a GET or a POST. We're going to need to have an access token that we're going to have to provide in the header of all our requests. So that's how we provide that. It's ultimately like saying, here's my password, give me the data. And then finally, we need to understand that when we make these REST calls, we're probably the best, probably the most efficient way of doing this in .NET is with JSON, just because of some of the serialization classes that are available. So I put some of the strategies for each of these. So we're going to be using primarily the HTTP web request and HTTP web response for doing GETs and POSTs. And I'll show you exactly what that looks like here in a second. And then in terms of the access token, we're going to set that on the header of the HTTP web request. So I simply say headers.add, and it's an authorization bearer token that we put in there. And so that's actually the script you see there. And then the bottom, number three, there are a number of different ways of working with JSON in .NET. So the two probably most popular ones is JSON.NET, which is an open source library. That's actually my preferred way, just because I think it's a little bit easier to grab. If I only care about one attribute, I don't have to build like my full entity out. Or I can use the system.runtime.serialization.json. So more of the standard .NET way. And it's really your preference. There are two really good utilities out there for working with Yammer and JSON. One is one I built. One is one that was built by a guy named Steve Peschka, who's a really smart guy. I use JSON.NET. Steve uses the out-of-the-box .NET framework to do his. So let's look at the requests. So here's a GET in .NET. And so you can see the important thing is I'm opening an HTTP web request with the URL. That URL is my JSON URL, the endpoint for the API that I want. And then on that, I'm adding a header of that authorization bearer token. In this case, it's a GET, so I'm just getting a response, and then I can go and use a stream reader to read that as a JSON string. At that point, I just have a string. I didn't put the next part. We'll look at a few examples in code, but ultimately from there, I have to deserialize my string into entities, right? That's going to be the primary. You don't want to go through and parse that JSON string manually. You're going to want to deserialize that into a set of objects that you can work with more easily. All right, so that's a GET. A POST is a little bit more complex. So there's actually some cookies we need to deal with from the Yammer side that we're going to provide. In this case, we have to specify that it's a POST. But probably the biggest difference here is I'm probably going to be sending data with my POST. So I have to go and actually serialize. So we talked about deserialization when I get stuff back. But when I'm sending things to Yammer, I actually have to serialize some sort of object. Maybe it's a user or a message class. I need to be able to convert that to an actual entity that has properties into a string. And so that's one of the things that I'm going to have to do here is take that and ultimately write it as I post. So you can see there's the write with the stream to get my response. So we're gonna actually build some code here in just a moment. So I wanted to highlight both the GET and the POST. But here's probably the most important slide, is that there are utilities that do all this for you. And I'll kind of describe the different approaches that are here. I have a utility that's basically just a really simple utility class. It's the yammerutil.cs. And ultimately what I did is, what's different from mine from Steve Peschka's, and Peschka's is fantastic, is Steve made his very generic. So Steve has a thing that says make a GET request or make a POST request, and you just provide it the API endpoint. And it returns a string. And then you're in charge of deserializing it however you want. I looked at it and I said, there's not that many APIs. It's not like I'm looking at 5,000 APIs that I need to represent. So in my util, what I've done is I've actually strongly typed everything, where I say util.get user, util.getCurrentUser, util.getGroupMessages. So I tried to make it a little bit more strongly typed, so you don't have to deal with the whole deserialization stuff. And so it's really just however you want to look at it. I think both are valuable, and that's why I put it on the blog. So you don't have to necessarily write all this down. You can just grab the slides and find those. The middle one here references, I did a session at the SharePoint conference on doing data mining with Yammer. A lot of people want to actually do like bulk exports of data from Yammer. And Yammer does provide an export, but it doesn't give me everything that I need. Actually, it's actually pretty limiting. It gives me messages and users and groups. It doesn't give me like following. It doesn't give me number of likes. It doesn't give me all that extra stuff. And so one of the things that I've actually been doing a lot of work on lately is around how can I use the APIs to take an export and then augment that with additional things, like get the likes for a message, see how many likes there are so I can actually report on that. And so I actually have some interesting things around like real time, actually pulling things real time into like a data mart. And so I'm going to show you that code here, but it's something that you can go download, and it's a real-time API for pulling that. So that's a reference to that session. All right, so let's actually build some of this. I have two scenarios I want to walk you through to show kind of how this works, and then we'll go into some more advanced scenarios. So the first one here that I want to do is actually we're going to take Yammer data, and we're going to try to get it into SharePoint. So here's my scenario. I tried to think of a couple of scenarios that are real life. And so in this case, a customer uses Yammer for ideation, right? So the concept of ideation is I post challenges to my organization, and then people post ideas for that challenge. So it might be, you know, there was a really famous one that Netflix did where they said, send us your ideas on a better, like, movie algorithm. You know, when you go into Netflix, it says, here are the movies that I think you should watch. And they're usually pretty accurate. And so this is exactly what, that's ideation, right? That's a, you know, asking for ideas on something. And so that's exactly what we're going to look at here. In this case, the root thread of every post is the actual challenge. And then every reply to that initial message is going to be considered an idea. And what the customer wants in this case is they want to go and basically aggregate the likes. We want to see who the most liked idea was. So I can go and look at my challenges and very easily see what was most liked, and maybe we pursue that in some sort of way. Beyond that, the customer wants this app accessible both from like their sales portal and SharePoint. So we're actually going to make this available in SharePoint, but also on a mobile device. So we're going to develop it in a way, maybe in a responsive way, so that I don't have to redevelop things multiple times. We're going to use normal HTML and be able to deliver that. So what we're going to build is basically an app for SharePoint that's going to query that ideation group in Yammer. It's going to have two views. It's going to have a challenges view, and then when I click on a challenge, it shows me the details, all the ideas ranked by the number of likes. We're going to create this as a provider-hosted app so that I can actually host it in SharePoint when they're on their portal. Maybe we have an ideation portal in SharePoint. I can view all that information. But we're also going to make that accessible from a mobile device because it's just going to be a normal web application at first. In fact, we're not even going to touch SharePoint when we first start building this. So let's jump into demo. I've done enough talking in slides. Let's actually get into some of the fun here. So the first thing that I need to do is I need to go out to get client application. So let me go to Yammer, developer. This is just a favorite that I have, but if you look at the URL up here, it's yammer.com/client_applications. This is where you go and register applications that you're going to use. So you can see I have this URL here, and I've actually already defined an application. So I have this Contoso ideation, and if I were to click on this, what you'll see is looks very similar to like an AppReg news screen in SharePoint. Now, again, I'll zoom in, but I have a client ID, I have a secret, and then I have a redirect URL that I specify. So ultimately, I'm going to provide what the redirect URL is, but I can explicitly set that in here if I want to. So this is ultimately kind of the username and password for my app. Now, the user still has to authorize it, but that's the username and password in a sense. So I have a little starter project here, this Yammer ideation site. And I want to point out, first of all, that this is just a normal, it's an ASP.NET application. If you're an MVC guy, I can do similar things, but ultimately, This is just a very simple web application. There's no SharePoint things involved here at all yet. We're going to add that here in a moment. But what I've done is I've specified the OAuth flow that I need. And I'm going to walk through this. We're actually going to debug and take a look at this. The most important thing here is that I am specifying, and I probably the better way of doing this is putting it in an app config or a web config, which is what SharePoint does. But ultimately, I'm specifying my client ID and my client secret. So I'm going to actually, before I do anything, let's go ahead and actually run this and kind of walk through what happens. So remember I told you that we need a code. A code is going to be coming back from Yammer that tells us that we've already logged in and we've authorized the app. So that's the first thing I'm doing is looking to see if there's a code in the URL. In this case, I'm not going to have a code, and so it's going to go to my else. And what we're going to do here is once we get a code, we're going to set it into session. So it's going to say, hey, do I have a session code already? Do I have an access code already in session? And in this case, we don't. So this is where it's going to take us, do that redirect to the OAuth endpoint. And again, if you remember that slide, we're going to specify two things, the client ID, which we're doing here, and the redirect URL. So I'm just grabbing the URL, absolute URI. So I'm going to go ahead and play here. And what we're going to see is it's going to take me to a login screen. And you can see in the URL it has the client ID and my redirect and all that stuff. But ultimately, I'm going to go ahead and say log in. Step two is I haven't authorized this app. I haven't allowed it. So the step two is it's going to say, well, do you allow this app or not? And in this case, I'm going to go ahead and take the happy path and say allow. Then it takes us back into our application. It's going to redirect back to where we specified. However, the interesting thing is now we're going to have a request code. So if I were to copy and paste this in the immediate window, what you see is there's that code. That's that code that I'm using. Ultimately, it's like a context token that I can now use to get an access token. So that's what's next. So now that I have a code, I'm going to go build a JSON request to get my access token. And in this case, I need to pass it three things. And again, this is all on the slide, so we're not going to spend too much time here. But I'm going to pass it the client ID, the client secret, and this code, the code that we just got from Yammer. So we'll go ahead and do that. So it comes back. And here's one of the reasons why I like JSON.NET instead of the normal .NET serialization stuff, is that I can grab individual tokens. So I don't care. It actually brought back a lot of things in that JSON request, like who the user is, things like that. All I care about is the access token. So I can grab that one access token, and now I can put it into session state. So I'll show you my access token here, and all you guys that are hackers will go write it down and go and exploit my good old Yammer dev tenant. But ultimately, that's what we're doing. Now, I need to do one more thing is I want to redirect to a clean URL so they don't see the actual code. And so I'm just redirecting back to itself. So here's the third time around. This time, it doesn't have a code, but we have it in session. And so now I'm able to actually go and make API calls. So that was a lot of movement that all happens really fast that allows me to get an access token to actually use my application. From a .NET standpoint, let me show you how easy it is to use to actually make calls into Yammer with that access token. So I'm going to use my approach, which is using this Yammer utility. So I'm going to create a new Yammer utility, and it's going to take two things. It's going to want the access token, right, which is ultimately the password for my application to do everything it needs to. So I'm going to go ahead and paste that in here. And the second thing is what's called a permalink. What this is when I'm using different networks, this is the way for me to tell the Yammer endpoint that I want to get this data, right? If I say get followers, I don't want the followers necessarily, I want them for a very specific network. So I actually provide the network name. The way you can find a permalink is if you go to Yammer, it's going to be right after the yammer.com part. So let me go back here, zoom in. Oh, that's not the one. Did I close it? I think I did. We'll go back in here real quick. Yammer.com. Yep, so in this case, if I zoom in, this permalink is contosopetro.com. For Microsoft, it's Microsoft.com. It's whatever your tenant is ultimately. So this is going to give me the ability to switch between different networks if I want. So I'm going to go back here, Yammer ideation. And I'm just going to hard code it in this case for our demo. and we'll call it the contosopetro.com. All right, so now that I'm my util, you'll see that I have a number of strongly typed things to bring back data. So in this case, I have get current user, get followers, get following, get full thread, get message likes, get message shares. In this case, I'm going to use get group messages. We're going to get all the messages that are in a very specific group. And this wants a group ID. So what we're going to do is let me go back to our Yammer site. And what we have over here in the side navigation, here's my groups. I have a very special group that we're going to use, and that's the ideation group. Remember I told you that they post everything within one of these Yammer groups where the root message is the challenge, and then we have ideas underneath that. So here's looking for ideas on improving route efficiency. Here's a challenge that says, how do we improve employee morale with that extra budget? Here's one looking for creative Q4 sales tips. So those are the challenges. Underneath that are the ideas, and we're going to rank those. So if I go back to Visual Studio, the way I can get the group ID is actually in the URL. So if I zoom in here, you can see the feed ID. This is the group ID. So there's other ways that I can find this out. I've found this to be the easiest way, is just to go to the actual group, and it's right there in your URL. So let's zoom out, and we'll provide that as an ID. So let's just say var messages. And then once I have that, I've actually already built the UI here. I just need to bind it to a repeater control. And actually, before I do that, I'll just put a quick breakpoint here. Let me remove this one. Just to show you what this is actually going to bring back for us. So it should redirect us to Yammer. Here it's redirecting us. And I'll go ahead and say login. And I'm saying not remember me because I'm going to switch between different users. But here, if I were to hover over messages, you can see I have five challenges that come back, and it's all strongly typed. So I can use this very nicely. It's, you know, my IDs are integers, my dates are dates. It's a really great way to work with those messages as opposed to JSON or XML. All right, so now I'm just going to bind this really simply. So we'll do repeater, data source is messages, and then repeater, data bind. Again, this is ASP.NET. If you're an MVC person, you're going to use similar patterns to get things. All right, so let's go ahead and play this again, and let's see if it worked. So it's going to do the redirect. Go ahead and log in. If it's a remember me or you already have a session, it's automatically going to, you'll never see that screen. So I'm doing it purposefully just to show you the OAuth part. So here's our challenges, and then we actually have a second page if I click on one of these challenges. So if I want to click, let's see. This is an oil and gas company, so it says, I desperately need ideas for improving production declines in West Texas. I'll go ahead and click on that. And what it does is it brings up the challenge, and then it has the number of ideas sorted by the number of likes. So I can just zoom in here. You can see that Brian Johnson has the top idea. It says we're bringing geologists out with field engineers. So really great way. And you can see that it's a very simple user interface that would look great on a mobile device. But what we want to see, since this is integrating with SharePoint, is how can we convert this into a SharePoint app? So that's what we're going to do next. And the way for me to do that, and this is kind of a little hidden gem inside of Visual Studio, if you have our tooling for building SharePoint apps, I can simply come over here, and I have a convert tab for my project, and I can actually convert this to a SharePoint project. So that's what I'm going to do here, is I'm going to simply just convert it to a SharePoint project. I'll zoom out, and it's going to say, well, what SharePoint site do you want to build it for? And this is just for debugging purposes, so I'm going to just use, we'll use Office 365 here. It could be on-premise. In this case, since I picked Office 365, it's going to have me log in. We'll stay signed in. And what this is going to do, it's going to add a new project to the solution. So the web project is going to stay largely unchanged. However, it is going to add a SharePoint project. And really, the only thing in the SharePoint project at this point is an app manifest file. And ultimately, this tells SharePoint where the starting page is for the application. So if I were to go in this, what you'll see is it'll have, you know, here's the start page. It's just the root is where we want to go to. What I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to add an app part. So we want to actually maybe view all of our ideas and challenges directly in the browser here. So I'm going to go ahead and add a new item. And I have an option for a client web part, which is basically an app version of a web part. And we'll call this ideation app part. When it does this, it's going to ask me, do you want to create a new page or do you want to use an existing page? In this case, we already have a good page for this that I'm going to leverage. So I'm going to simply click on here and say, let's use our challenges. Our default page. And I'm going to say finish. And at this point, I'm not going to go further with this. I'm just going to show you all this working. But ultimately, we have a working app part. Now, the one thing I'd probably want to do in here is do some things. The cool thing about SharePoint is I can actually resize app parts because it's going to be an iframe. So one of the cool things is I might want to add just a few lines of script to our app to resize based upon how many messages come back. And that's something that I can easily do with the app model. So we'll go ahead and log in here to our SharePoint site. It's going to ask me, do I trust our Yammer ideation app? I'm going to say yes. And then it's going to take me to the full screen experience. It's going to take me exactly where I was. I'll go ahead and say log in. And here's our ideas site. But here's the great thing is I can actually now embed it in my page itself. So we'll go over here and create just maybe a separate page. We'll call this Tech Ed 2014. And if I go into my Insert tab, now I should have an app part for that Yammer ideation. And there, where is it? Yammer feed. Did I just say Yammer ignite? There it is. I'm sorry, I thought I had Yammer in the... Thanks for finding that for me. So go ahead and insert it in here. What's going to look bad here is it's going to be very obvious it's in an iframe because we're going to get scroll bars, right? And that's not pretty. But what I'm telling you is that we could add basically one line of script to our page that would get rid of it. It would actually let it resize. And that's something that we support in the app model. But I can click on this, and it'll take me to the detail page for that, and I can look at the detail of that challenge. So really easy way here, and the cool thing is again, it's typically going to be a single sign-on experience. I'm explicitly not doing single sign-on because I want to be able to highlight the fact that we're going through that OAuth process. Questions? Cool. So that was bringing Yammer data into SharePoint. I want to go the other way around. So I want to look at maybe how we can take SharePoint data into Yammer, because I think that's also a really interesting thing. So again, I just came up with a scenario here, and the scenario is the customer does a daily sales contest, and they want to socialize the daily winners. And what's happening is the users are using a SharePoint list. It's really easy to go create a SharePoint list for people to maybe register the sales that they make. And so that's exactly what's happened here. We have a SharePoint site with a sales list. They can go put some information in there. And what we want to do is we want to go and pull that out and maybe post to Yammer every day and say, hey, here's the top salespeople. So our solution is we're actually going to build a SharePoint app to read all the sales metrics out of the SharePoint list. We're then going to, and that's something that we're going to end up running as like a timer job. It's not going to be an exact timer job. It's going to be more of an app timer job. But ultimately, we can do things like that. What I'm going to do then is I'm going to aggregate all of those sales totals. So I might have 50 sales for the day, but we need to get the grand total for that user. And then what we're going to do is we're going to post a message in Yammer recognizing the top three sellers. So that's our scenario, and let's take a look at what we need to do here. Now, the challenge with this app is that I don't have a user experience that a user goes through to do OAuth, right? Typically, that's going to be like an in-the-browser type of thing. I'm building a console application here. That's what my timer job is. It's a console application. So the big question is, how am I going to go through that OAuth process so that I can get an access token? That's ultimately what I need is an access token. The cool thing is that we've actually, Yammer's thought about that for you. So let me go out to the Yammer. We'll just go back to the REST one. And if you go back to the Yammer documentation under authentication, on the very bottom of the screen, there's a process for getting a test token. So if I go down here, it walks me through how I can do this. And we're going to do that together. So first, we're going to go register a new app. So let me go and do Yammer developer. Client applications. I'm going to create a new application. We're going to call this the Sales Awards app. It's for Contoso Petro. And I'll just put my email for now. All right. This is going to give me my client ID and secret, which is going to be really important. So I have my client ID and secret. So let's look at what it's telling us to do here. So if I go to our documentation here on how to generate a test token, and I'll try to make this a little bit bigger. There we go. So first thing it says is I need to create that access token. Then I'm going to go, so I've already done that. I've created our client ID and secret. So I'm down to step five. Step five is the same thing we had in our .NET application. I'm going to go out to that OAuth endpoint, and I'm going to provide a client ID and a redirect URL. The interesting thing is for a redirect URL, there's another point up here, is that we're actually going to use Yammer as our redirect URL. So we're actually going to redirect back to Yammer. That way we can just see the code in the browser. So let's do that here. Let's open up handy Notepad, and we're going to, that's Notepad, all right. So let's grab this URL here that it wants and fill in the gaps. So we'll go ahead and paste it in here, and I'll make this bigger as well. All right, so we need a client ID. So I have my client ID that I can simply get over here. So we'll grab that. There's my client ID. And then I need my redirect URL, which again, for this case where I'm getting a manual access token, it's just going to be HTTPS. Yammer.com. Now, the important thing to note here is that I'm going to get an access token that's associated with whatever user I'm logged in as. So I'm logged in as Alex Darrow. And if that's fine with you, if you're fine with Alex being kind of the person that this process runs, great. Otherwise, you might want a service account to use for this. But again, all I need to do is get the access token once, and it's good forever. So we'll go ahead and paste this in the browser. It's going to take us right back here. It's going to say allow the app. I'm going to say allow. And there is the key that we were going after. I have a code in my URL. That's what we were after, is that code. So now that we have that code, let's see what we need to do next. I'm just going to go ahead and paste it because we are going to use it. So next step is copy the code value, which we've done. Now we're going to do a REST call to another endpoint, and we're going to provide a client ID, client secret, and the code. So this is exactly what we did in .NET code. We're just doing it manually in a browser. So I'll paste this in here. I already have the client ID that we used earlier. So we'll paste that in. We'll go ahead and paste our code in. And then finally, I need to go get my client secret, which is right here. So we'll paste our client secret in. Awesome. So now I can paste this in the browser. That's going to return to me my JSON, and inside of this will be my access token. So I know that's a little bit hard to see here, but if I just search for token, there's actually a lot of details that it brings back with the access token. If you remember, I mentioned that earlier. The second one, this is the actual access token right here. So I have my actual access token. And what I'm going to actually do now is just in my console application, I'm going to hard code it. I'm going to put it in like my app config. Because to be quite honest, that's all I need. It doesn't expire. So I'm just going to put it under here in my app settings. So I'm going to go ahead and paste that in here. The other thing I have in here, and I'll just point this out really quickly, and I'm going to change my password after this session so that you guys don't go and do weird things in my tenant. But there's a couple of different ways that I can create SharePoint timer jobs. If you're really interested in SharePoint timer jobs, and you don't mind the sound of my voice, directly after this session, myself and Steve Walker have a session where we're going to go through some of the common things people are customizing in SharePoint and how you do it in our app model. There's really two ways of doing a timer job. One is through OAuth, and one is just providing network credentials. So that's what I'm doing here is I'm actually providing network credentials. So I'm actually using a service account as opposed to OAuth to be able to actually write my console app. And then I'm specifying the site URL. So now that I have this pasted in here, let's just quickly take a look at my SharePoint site. So here's my sales list. You can see I can go in here and add a sale item. So we'll just say, fittings sale for West Texas. And in this case, I just select a customer, Northwinds, and I put a total sales amount. We'll say this was a $10,000 sale. And you can see there's multiple items. So it looks like I have like three sales in here. But we need to aggregate that, and that's what our .NET application is going to do for us. It's going to aggregate it. So let's look at our console application. And I'll again zoom in on this so it's a little bit easier to see. So in this case, I'm using Office 365, so I have to use a very special class called the SharePoint Online Credentials class. If I was doing this on-premises, I can simply use a normal network credential that I specify on client context. But what I'm doing here is I'm going to use CSOM to connect into my SharePoint farm, read a list, get the data out of it, aggregate it, and then write out to Yammer. So let's put a breakpoint here, and you'll see exactly how we do that. Actually, I'm going to put a breakpoint here. All right, this first step is I'm actually getting that service account password, and I have to put into a special secure string class, so that's kind of what this is doing. But ultimately, now I'm specifying my service account name and my service account password, and now I'm going to use that to connect to my SharePoint site. So that's what this client context is. I'm connecting to my SharePoint site. So we'll go ahead and do that. And then I'm going to go get the sales list, right? That's where we were at, was in this sales list, and I want to go get all the data out of that. So I'm basically going to go and create a CAML query that says, I want all the items from that list. What we're going to do is every day we'll purge that list. So after we calculate our awards, we'll purge that list daily. So I'll go ahead and do that query. So here's where I go and actually, I haven't talked to SharePoint at this point. Here's where I'm going to talk to SharePoint is by doing execute query. So this is just standard CSOM. So that brings my items back. Now that I have my items back, this is just a quick extension method to convert a SharePoint list item, which isn't the easiest thing to work with a nice clean entity. So I've defined an entity called a sales record. So if I actually go one step further here, what we'll see is it actually converted this to a nice, pretty sales record entity where I have the totals or the sales amount and who the sales rep is. At this point, we haven't aggregated anything though. It's basically just all the items from the list. So here's where I'm going to first group by the sales rep. And as I do that, I'm going to sum up their items. So just a quick little link syntax here. It's going to help me group those in a way that now I can sort those by who has the most sales. So I'm going to do one more line just so that you can now see. I've collapsed that down to four salespeople, and I've sorted that in a way, let me try to zoom in here, in a way so that they're sorted in descending order by the total sales. So pretty simple, couple lines, but certainly something that would be hard to do from Yammer. In this case, our console application is a great way of leveraging this. So now I'm ready to actually, as long as I have more than one or more sales reps, I'm ready to actually go out and call into Yammer where we're going to post a message. So I'm going to go here into Yammer, use our Yammer util. And in this case, we're going to build a very special string. And that is a string that does at mentions of users. And this is actually the syntax that I use to do that in Yammer. So you can see here that I say user colon, and then I give it their user ID in Yammer. So that's exactly what this is doing. It's going to allow me to do an at mention. So let me zoom out of here, and we'll basically put a breakpoint right before I post the message. And I think I waited too long. Value cannot be null. And let's try that one more time. Processing, and again, the value cannot be null. So it didn't bring back anything. All right, looks like my access token might be a little bit messed up. So I'll just try one little thing here, and if that doesn't work, we'll move on with the next thing, just from a time standpoint. So I'm just going to revoke it and try to get that again. Or actually, we should do it through the URL. get our code real quick. There's our code. And those codes are not, those are time-bombed. So I'm going to have to change it. You'll see that it's probably different. Yes, it is. All right, and paste it one more time. Get our token. And it looks like it's the same token. But if it is, we will move on. I think it is. So we'll try it one more time if this doesn't work. All right, so in this case, something's up here with get user by email. And I could probably test this in the browsers too. The beauty of this, oh, that's interesting. Well, I see the issue. So I need email equals, I'm not sure how that got pulled off of this. We need to pass the actual email. So that's our problem. Try this one more time. I feel confident. And did we set a breakpoint? We did. Okay, so now I have my mention string. So look what this mention string looks like. I'll try to get in close here. So we're saying user, and it's very cryptic, but we're saying this user had this amount of sales, this user had this amount of sales, this user had 36,000 in sales. And what that's going to transcribe to when we actually post the message into Yammer is very different. So let's take a look at what that looks like when I actually do the post. And actually, let's actually step into the post here. So I'm going to go ahead and step into the post. And what you'll see here is I've made it a little bit strongly typed so you don't have to know the actual JSON string. So I'm going to go ahead and build this. And then I have a special, I have a post Yammer JSON. So I took a similar approach to Steve Peschka. I just kind of encapsulated everything in individual functions. So that's going to return an entire message. And then at this point, I don't really do anything with that message. But if we were to go back to our SharePoint site, I'm sorry, our Yammer site, and go under the sales awards, what we should see is that cryptic user string has been incorporated as actual mentions of users. So I can see Garth had the best sales, Alex had the second best, and Allie had the third best, and that was posted about 30 seconds ago from the sales awards app. So that's kind of cool from a graph standpoint. It actually shows us that it was posted from that application. So hopefully this shows that not only is it very easy to take Yammer data into SharePoint, it's also very easy to take SharePoint data and push that into Yammer. And there's some really interesting scenarios that you can do with it. All right, I want to talk about two going further scenarios that I think are really cool. One is around throttling. So, and I actually incorporated this into my Yammer utility, but Yammer does, it does do some throttling with the different APIs that it has. So at the bottom, it shows you an example of some of the throttling. So for instance, most of the APIs, you can only call 10 requests within 10 seconds. So ultimately, it's like an API call every second. But you can bundle them up really quickly. So if you want to do a burst of 10, wait, a burst of 10, wait, you can do that. And you'll see an application that I wrote that does exactly that. So let's jump in and let me show you a really cool example of actually doing some of those calls. Let me first show this to you actually in code. So in my Yammer utility, let me find that project here. This is an app called Yamosphere. It's actually a pretty cool app. It's public. It's free. You can go play with it. But what I do is I create, here's my Git Yammer JSON. This is what all the requests funnel through for Gits. What I end up doing is I create a calling queue. So all the requests go into a queue, and I have basically a couple variables here that specify the request throttle and the throttle duration. So what this is saying is every 10 seconds, I can do 10 API calls. So it's basically specifying that throttle, that 10 messages in 10 seconds. So what happens is if I come in here, and this is not the most elegant code in the world, but if I come in here and I have more than 10 items in the queue, then I'm going to go sleep by the exact amount of time that I need to make all of this work. So I ultimately just do a sleep of the thread. And then as soon as I get to the next line here, I should be able to go process the next message. So ultimately, everything goes into a queue, and then I pull things off the queue. And that's actually what this is doing. It's removing old entries that are greater than 10 seconds. So ultimately, that's what everything goes through. And then it just does a normal request and returns the JSON string. Let me show you what this looks like in code. So lots of windows open here. Let me close a few. I'm going to go into the YAMLosphere app. It's at yamlosphere.azurewebsites.net. This uses a lot of really interesting technology. It uses SignalR. It uses lots of Azure things like Blob Storage and web roles and web jobs. But this is very similar to what we've seen before. Is I first need to log in, so I'm going to click log into Yammer. You're going to see something really familiar in the URL here. You're going to see a code, right? We spent a lot of time looking at authentication in those codes. At this point, I can either generate a new YAMLosphere or use an existing one. I'm going to generate a new one because I want to show you that throttle as it occurs. You're going to see bursts of progress, and then it's going to slow for a while, bursts of progress, and then slow for a while. That's that throttling mechanism. And again, it's in that utility that I have out on my blog. So I'll go ahead and click generate new. Now watch this. It's going to go and burst a bunch. So it's at zero. You saw it burst up to 32%. It's going to stop for a while. Give it a few seconds. And then it's going to go burst again. Hopefully we'll get up to around 50%. What this is doing, it's going and processing through all my followers and all the followers that follow, or people that I follow, and it's building, it's doing what we call cluster analysis. It's building a really cool looking map of all of those connections. And I'll show you some cool examples of a finished one. So here's the finished result. It actually shows me how everyone is connected. If I zoom in here, you can actually see names, and if I click on one, you can see how certain people are connected with others. This is demo data. I'll show you my real YAMLosphere at Microsoft. So mine's a little bit more detailed. And what's cool is the colors represent commonality. We have the most connections together. LinkedIn did a similar thing called LinkedIn Maps. So this uses Jeffy. It's an open source thing by MIT Institute. But you could see something like this, or I have even a crazier one. Let's go to Christoph. Christoph basically owns Yammer for product marketing. This is his Yammer network. And if I zoom in here, it's incredibly detailed. I mean, it's almost more detailed than you can see. And so what's interesting here, if you think about all of the processing that it had to do to figure out all these different connections, that's something that would be very, very hard to do without utilizing some sort of resource throttle. So that's exactly what I wanted to highlight here, is that think about that if you're going to build anything that needs to do a lot of, even you would be surprised, even if I'm just trying to see how many users are in a group. If it's a really popular group, like at Microsoft, we'll have something like the Office Developers Group or SharePoint Developers Group. That could have tens of thousands of users in it within our company. And so I can't just like recursively go and get all those at once. You do have to throttle that. All right. Last topic, and then I'm going to open it up to questions, is this is a really cool thing, and that is Yammer's real-time API. I know there's lots of different approaches to doing real-time web, right? There's, you know, doing things like, web sockets and things like that. Yammer uses what's called the Bayou protocol of long requests, and I'll explain what happens here. So what you do in Yammer is you actually go out and you make a request for new messages, and you set it to have a very long timeout, like a 30-second timeout. I mean, if you think about what that is in making a REST call, that's really long. But your browser won't timeout as long as you set that, again, that long timeout. And what happens is, within that 30 seconds, if nothing happens in the network, at the end of the 30 seconds, Yammer just sends you, hey, nothing happened. And you immediately make another request. So you keep making these requests for 30-second intervals. However, if at any point in time during that 30 seconds, if a message comes in, if something meets the channel that you're subscribed to, it will immediately send that to you. And then what you can do is it basically sends you the ID of the new item. You go and open another long poll, but then you go get the details of the item. And so actually this, if you go to yammer.com, that's how they do real time in their feed. If you've ever been on a feed and at the top it says you have two new messages, that's that Bayou protocol, the JavaScript that's actually doing this. Now I say JavaScript, I have a utility written in .NET that does the same thing, so you'll be able to download that. But let me show you, what happens here is, first you need to discover, it's based upon a channel. So the first thing you need to do is go get the feed that you want to see in real time. So if I want to see like my following or the top things in my network or a group feed, I would first go get like a group feed, and then in that metadata that's at the bottom of the JSON message, there's something called a channel ID. Once I have that channel ID, I'm ready to start this whole real-time process. So the first thing I'm going to do is initialize the real-time endpoint. So I'm going to call out to yammer.com/API/v1/real-time. That's going to give me an endpoint that I'm going to use for my real-time communication. It won't be yammer.com. I'll show it to you in Fiddler. It's going to be something else. With that real-time endpoint, I'm going to perform a handshake with my access token. Actually, all of those first, the discover you need to be authenticated, but for the real-time, I don't need to be authenticated. It's actually completely unauthenticated. It just gives me the real-time endpoint. But when I actually create the handshake, I provide an access token. Then I have to subscribe to what feeds I want, and that's using that channel ID. So I'm going to specify the channel ID that I want in real-time, and then finally, I start performing my long poll request against Yammer. So I'm going to close. Let me jump back here, and I'm going to show you this. And the best way to actually view this is inside of Fiddler. So that's what I'm going to do. So let me close all of these windows because I don't want Fiddler to have other real-time things going on in the background, which it will. All right, and let's open our real-time ETL tool. So you can see I'm basically doing all those. In this case, I'm going to go after my following here. I'm going to go after what I'm following. So that's the first thing. Step one was to go and discover what I want. And what I'm grabbing off that is a channel ID, right? And then once I get that, I need to go and do that real-time handshake. So I go and get the real-time endpoint. Then I go and do the handshake. Then I go and start doing the long poll request. So subscribe and then do the long poll request. So it's a number of steps. It happens all very quickly, and I'm going to show you that here really quickly through Fiddler. And then I'll show you a cool application that uses it. So here we go. Got Fiddler up. Oh, that's not what I wanted. Now I have to clear Fiddler. So let's start our real-time ETL. And that's probably enough. I'm going to try to zoom in here to show you a few things. So the first thing is this line. This line. This is where I go to get my channel ID. In fact, if I were to zoom out here and go to the JSON that gets returned, what you'll see is at the very bottom, under the metadata, I'm going to have a channel ID. And it should be a little bit further down. There's a lot of data here, but there's a channel ID in here that I use. Too much stuff going on. The next thing that it's doing is it's going to go and get the real-time endpoint. So that's what's happening here. It's getting the real-time endpoint. It then performs the handshake. After it performs the handshake, I'm ready to go and set my subscription, which is what's happening right here in this rt.yammer.com. Here, I want to show you, most importantly, the actual long poll request. So here's actually a long poll that's open. You notice that it just got a response of a 200, and I immediately opened a new one. So you can see here's a new one that I don't have a result from because it's a 30-second request, and here in just a second, if I zoom into it, what you'll see is it'll actually get a response, and as soon as I get it, it'll respond a new one. Actually, a new message popped in as it did that, that's what that message there is. So it's this constant process of going out, making a call for a long period of time, waiting for the result. Once there's a result, and I immediately opened a new request. So that's kind of the process for using this real time. Let me show you a really cool use of this. I'll go ahead and close this, and I'm going to open up PowerPoint. So I'm going to open up PowerPoint here, and I have this just kind of cheesy Yammer deck here. But one of the things I want to do is maybe do something fun where I actually embed a real live feed inside of PowerPoint. PowerPoint has this new concept of content apps. So I'm going to go out here, and I actually have a Yammer embed app for PowerPoint that I'm going to insert in here. Let me actually style this, make it a little nicer. And I'll size it on my screen. And then what I'm going to do is, I don't want a user to have to enter in an access token, but there's a site they go to get a code to get their feed. So I'm going to go ahead and put, we're going to do the IT Pro Network, and we'll give it a feed code. And I'm going to start it, we'll just start it automatically, and I'm going to do following. So if you're a Yammer user and you go out to the IT Pro Network and you mention MS Tech Ed, what's going to happen here once I start this slide presentation, give it a second to, it's doing all that handshake stuff. Now, if I were to go and say, hello world, and I'm going to mention, and you guys can do it too, MS Tech Ed, and say post, here in just a second, if I'm connected, there we go. You can see that it pops up. It actually works with pictures as well, so I'll just do this one more time just to show you kind of a cool way it provides all that information. MS Tech Ed. Ah. And I'll post a picture. Come on, you guys are Yammer users. I'm surprised more people aren't interacting here. This is your time to be seen on a forever recording. So there you can see I can post pictures in it as well. There we go. So anyway, a cool way of using that real-time API and making something very interactive like a slide or doing ETL, that's really what I used the console application that you'll be able to download was to see how you might be able to go and collect information in more real-time if you wanted to do or real-time analytics. Awesome. So let's wrap this sucker up, get you guys a chance to ask any questions you might have. So, and actually here's an example of the same thing, just running in that slide. So this is what I set out to achieve with you guys, is I wanted to illustrate the APIs that Yammer has, how we can work with them with .NET, and how some of the detailed challenges that you might have, you know, things like how do I call into Yammer if all I have is a console application? Or how do I deal with throttling? And so there's some really good examples you can go get. I hope you're leaving thinking that this is actually, it's not rocket science. You know, most of Yammer might be written in Ruby on Rails, but if I don't know a thing about Ruby, I can still do things this way. And so I'd highly encourage you guys to give this a shot. Go try to write a simple app. I mean, it's amazing how easy we made it with some of the utilities that you can download. There are a number of really good social sessions this week that I highly recommend you guys go to. I'm a developer, but I also love social, and you put them together, it's just like magic to me. So go look at some other social sessions. There's some really good ones. And there's also some really good content from a SharePoint conference standpoint. Anyone go to SharePoint conference? No one? Okay, a couple people. Yeah, so there's some really good Yammer content out there as well. Actually, there's probably more Yammer content at that conference than there is at TechEd, so highly recommend you guys go look at it. And then here's some general Yammer resources that you can go and check out. For those that haven't been by the office booth, since this is an office session, we do have the Garage Series live. I don't know if anyone's seen the Garage Series. It's a really popular video blog where they do a lot of neat things. I highly recommend go check it out. They're giving out two Dell Venue Pros like this every 15 minutes. So all you have to do is go sit through a 15-minute presentation and you have a 2 in however many attend chance of winning one. So with that, that's all that I had to present for you guys. So I'll open it up if anyone has any questions. We have a few minutes for any questions you might have. Yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the question was, is he's very interested in pulling in Yammer data into some of the power tools like Power Query, Power Pivot. I'll show you a couple of things that I think will help you out there. One is, let me switch over to my slides. I actually have a really good blog post that I just posted on this. So if you go to richdiz2z.com, that is not it. I'll try this again. Here we go. richdiz.com. A couple of blogs ago, I did Yammer Analytics with Excel and Power BI. So it's exactly kind of what you're asking for. And actually, I walked through a lot of detail around how you can go about doing this. I created an actual export tool. You can go get the raw exports and do things with it. But this is a really good start. And then the other thing I would say is if you join the Yammer customer network, the YCN network, Steve Nguyen, he's one of the YCN advocates. He's actually developed some really good IP around. I've worked with him a lot on doing some stuff with Power BI in it. But yeah, you can do some amazing things from a BI standpoint with Yammer. And these APIs can help what we went through today. Yes, sir. Fantastic question. Just so I can repeat for the recording, the question was, the throttling, what is that based on? Is it based on the browser session? So it's based upon the access token. And to go further than that, the access token is based upon the app and the user. So any given app and user is throttled by that amount. So if you want, if you wanted to, I'm not saying go off and do this. If I wanted to do something faster, I might be able to partition my request off into like 10 different threads with 10 different app IDs and maybe be able to actually get more out of it. At that point, you'd probably hit the max at which. Yep. It would be all their own access, unless you hard-coded an access token. But on the web, that's right. That's right. They'd all have their own access token, unless you hard-coded it. The only place I hard-coded was in my console app. In the web, we have a nice mechanism of taking them through getting an access token. Awesome question. Well, thank you very much. I will say, go do your evaluations. If you thought this was a helpful session and we met the objectives, I'd appreciate some evals. It really helps us keep quality content here at TechEd. And have a fantastic TechEd. Find me at Ask the Experts tomorrow night. And if you want to, hang around. We have a really cool apps SharePoint session directly starting in 30 minutes. So feel free to hang out. Thanks.